So the reading is from Acts 3. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, while he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see."
What a fabulous last line, isn't it? "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him." And you can all see that. Glory to glory for his glory. God heals. I don't think anyone here doesn't believe that we have a God who heals. Am I right? You know, if pop your hand up now and we'll talk to you later. But, you know, I think, you know, God introduced himself. One of his names is that he heals. Yeah. You know, last year, what we did in July and August, maybe you remember, maybe we don't, but we were looking at the different spiritual gifts. And one of the gifts is the gifts of healing. And that's what we're going to look at today. But I just wanted to remind you where we are as PBBC in the journey of gifts. So last year, July, August, we looked at spiritual gifts. We covered the biblical protocols. In other words, how do you actually use the gifts that you've been given within a church setting and outside? We covered how God speaks in different ways through the Bible, visions, dreams, pictures, words, and through creation to give words of encouragement, prophecy, teaching, and wisdom. It's still on the website. If you want to catch up or remind yourself what we taught, you know, this is still there. And we covered the spiritual gifts of communication. And we covered the gifts of encouragement, prophecy, teaching, tongues, knowledge, wisdom, shepherding, apostle, intercession, evangelist. And we also covered the serving gifts of administration, discerning of spirits, faith, giving, hospitality, helps, leadership, mercy, craftsmanship, creative communication. There are a lot of gifts that God has given us through his Spirit. And what we agreed in our church meeting, again, you may or may not remember, but I'll just jog your memories now. In November, our church meeting, we said we would discover our spiritual gifts. And many of you actually took the survey that we had and then reported back to your house groups to tell people, this is the spiritual gifts that we've done, you know. And then we said that we would welcome and encourage the use of all communication and serving gifts and all the ways that God speaks to us each time we meet. We've got a little way to go with that, but that's where we're at. We've had those teachings, but at that moment in time, we weren't ready for teaching on healing. And we're not ready yet for teaching on miracles. That'll come when God says, right, now's the time. But today we are specifically looking at the spiritual gifts of healing and the mandate of Jesus to heal. And we've read this before a number of times when we were looking at spiritual gifts. It says 1 Corinthians 12:7-9. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. It is plural in Greek as well as in English. In other words, the healing gift is referred to as gifts, plural, indicating that there are different types or aspects of healing abilities given by the Spirit, not just one singular gift. I think quite often we think, oh, the gift of healing is physical healing, but that's not what this passage says. Yeah. And I think most of you have experienced at least some kind of healing. You know, I know that I have prayed for people to have their hearts healed based on Isaiah 61. I know that I have seen people's minds healed, lies gone, truth come. I know that I've seen bodies healed. I've seen people's emotions healed. I've seen marriage relationships healed. I've seen neighborhoods healed. You know, come and see, this is in my neighborhood. You know, since we've moved in, the park's been improved, the drug dealer's gone. You know, we've got new neighbors moved in who are lovely. We've got one who actually went to buy a cross after he chatted with John. This is husband and myself. He went to the exchange and bought a cross the other day just because he's seeking. Neighborhoods can be healed. Nations can be healed. Systems and structures, and I think that's something that we miss, that actually in Colossians 1:20 it says that absolutely everything, that's whether dominions, powers, etc., everything is on this trajectory of healing, of being restored, of being made new. Just like you're a new creation in Christ, this is what God has for systems and structures. And I don't know about you, but we have systems and structures in this land that are meant to provide care, that are meant to provide justice, that are meant to provide righteousness. And those systems and structures need healing. We're not doing it today, but they need miracles in some places. Yeah, our NHS, our banks, our courts. You know, I've prayed for people who have just been oppressed and just seen them set free. I have seen people with depression set free and healed. And I have seen people who have been blind and deaf healed. I've even seen like this guy. Has anyone ever seen a lame person get up and walk? No. I mean, I think, you know, my mum used to take us every summer to a conference, whether it was Dale's Bible Week or some conference in Wales or whatever. And it was just an expectation. It's like, you know, how many deaf people, blind people and people in wheelchairs are we going to see? It was just me as our growing up. That was our experience. It was quite incredible. Remember, I grew up in the 70s, you know, when I was born. And that's when the charismatic movement was at its height in this country. And we saw, didn't we, Lizzie? We saw some amazing things. Beryl, I think you probably saw some amazing things too. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus taught us to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? Any disease, any broken systems? Is there any bodies, minds, or emotions that need healing in heaven? Do you think God was perhaps saying, we are all to pray for healing? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's in heaven? Well, let's pray for that to be on earth. I mean, Jesus taught, he says, loose what's in heaven and bind what's on earth that isn't in heaven on earth. Jesus, I believe, is teaching all of us that we are to pray for the different types of healing And when we do that, Christ comes, his kingdom comes. And as the end of the Lord's Prayer says, it's for your glory, Lord. That's why we do it. You know, deliver us from evil. Why? For your glory. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Why? For your glory. That trajectory. And I know that quite often you may be looking at the world and that's the trajectory. I've met some people and, you know, there's a guy beginning with T who people are very upset about and the chaos caused in the world. You know, there's all these things happening, yeah? But remember, these don't last. Kingdoms come and fall. But the kingdom of God, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I'm not focused on this trajectory because I know what happens to that, but I also know what's going on here. Our trajectory is to see more of God's kingdom come and more of his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. See, when we pray for healing, we're just partnering with the trajectory of God's kingdom. It's just a natural part of what we expect to see. You know, it's just what Jesus told us to do as his disciples. Oh, by the way, heal the sick. You know, oh, by the way, there's some people with leprosy over there. Pray for them. Oh, how about raising the dead? How about casting out demons? How about freely, you've received so much healing from me. How about you freely give it to others? With the spiritual gifts of healing, what if all Christians have been given the spiritual gifts of healing? What if all Christians have been given the authority to go and proclaim his kingdom through praying and seeing his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, i.e. people healed? I reckon that the vast majority have probably prayed at some point for some type of healing for somebody. Pop your hand up if you have prayed at some point for somebody for some type of healing. Yeah. That's our mandate. That's who we are. Isn't that amazing? That's just who we are. I think that every single Christian, because we have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in us, have the spiritual gifts of healing. For his glory. Not for ours, it's for his glory. I want to talk to you about everyday healings. And I want to talk to you about this lady, Chloe Swart. You can find her on YouTube. I happened to hear about it in my sister's church at Christmas, but this really encouraged me because most of the time and most of the healing conferences that I've been to now where I see healings have been in Nepal or in the USA. And everyone says, oh, England, oh, the United Kingdom. And to me, this research was done in Wales where my nephew and his wife are working, our ministers there. And she is now the director of Alpha in Wales, is Chloe Swart. And she was told by her supervisor for a PhD, she actually did it at Chichester University, she said she was told, because she wanted to do a PhD on healing and miracles in Wales. And she, and the, you know, the guy said, well, you know, see if you can find, you know, 10 that you can actually find and you can, you know, base your research on about healing in Wales in the last 5 years. So she put out a few feelers. How many people do you think wrote to her and said, I have been healed and happy to be part of your research in the last 5 years? How many people do you think might have responded? 10? More? Keep going. Hundreds. How many? Very close. 605 people. I don't know who was more surprised, her or supervisor, probably the supervisor, I think. But, and of those healings, you can see the statistics there. 40% shared incredible stories of life-altering healing, cancer, terminal illness. But 60% were these everyday, and I don't know if I call my arthritis everyday ailment. It doesn't feel like an everyday one, but just, you know, everyday ailments of arthritis, tennis, elbow, shin splints, eczema, migraines. Last 5 years, Wales. And after 7 years of studying and 100,000 words, she discovers that the vast majority of healings, these 605 healings, took place when everyday people prayed using everyday language in everyday locations. And that's the story we read about Peter and John today. They were just going about their everyday life. You see, Peter and John were going to the temple, which they just did every single morning, and they passed people on their way. I mean, I know Roz every morning goes to the shop to get the newspaper for Ray. Do you know what I mean? This is her everyday going. It's equivalent of that, just wandering and on their everyday lives. No, they weren't in the synagogue. They just bumped into somebody in need on their way. And what we discover about the life of Jesus and his disciples is that going about their everyday lives, they met with people in need. And what we discovered and what we sang about, it was often compassion that drove them to stop and talk and pray for those in need. Seven times in the gospel, you will find that the writers decided to say, compassion drove Jesus, compassion drove Jesus, compassion drove Jesus. And I think of Peter's compassion that must have overrode other emotions going on in him. Because like he said, I haven't got any money. Silver and gold have I none. You remember the song? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And so no, maybe he's embarrassed because somebody's asking for money and he's like, I don't have any, just fear of lack of the resources that he has. But his compassion overrode that. Maybe his pride meant, I can't be late to the temple because I'm about to pray. You know, I can't walk in late, you know. But his compassion overrode fear, his compassion overrode pride, his compassion overrode embarrassment so that he stopped and gave what he could give. This is where the healings in Wales took place. I'm just giving you a few examples of the 605. But as she talks and as I've read stuff of her on her PhD, it's coming out as a book later, it's not out yet. I can't wait to read it. But she said most of them occurred outside, in fact, nearly all outside a church building. It wasn't in the church. She said they happened in gyms. And she says it's amazing how many people hurt themselves in gyms. It happens in supermarkets, in beauty parlors, as people are just chatting to the person who, you know, fixing their nails, at home with a friend, at a wedding, at a night shelter. They happen as people went about their everyday lives in their everyday locations. Everyday words and everyday people, that's what it's about. There was no long drawn out prayer with Peter, was there? It was just like, in the name of Jesus Christ, well, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, to make it clear which Jesus, because the number had Jesus, his name, Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, it's just simple prayers, isn't it? You know, a real simple one is just pain be gone in Jesus' name. You know, lies be replaced with truth in Jesus' name. Grief be healed in Jesus' name. Oppression lift in Jesus' name. You see, Peter had seen the authority that Jesus had given him and said, go and do likewise. He knew the authority behind the name and he knew the person. You know, I don't know about you, but my mother was a scary principal. And you could threaten, do you know what I mean? That was because I worked in the school sometimes and it was a bit like, you know, Mrs. Ellis is coming. You know, like there's authority, isn't there, in the name? She's not even appeared. It's just that authority that is there with a name. You know, there might be some names that you think of and you're like, oh, better stand up or sit down or cower. Yeah. Authority in that name. And he says, and then just go and do what I've done. And Peter did that. Matthew's Gospel says in chapter 10, verse 7 to 8, that Jesus tells his disciples, and I love this because this is a correct translation. You'll find it in the NIV. As you go. It's not go, it's as you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Isn't that brilliant? As you go. This isn't let's do a special healing, you know, thing this week and let's all go out and stand in, I don't know, around outside Rihanna's house and let's all just invite people as they come along and pray. It's as we go. Simple prayers as we go. And it's just part of proclaiming the gospel to pray for healing. And Peter holds out the hand, doesn't he, of the guy and is like, you know, sort of get up. He's testing, isn't he? You know, are you actually healed? And to me, there's way more than a physical healing going on here. I mean, the fact that the man thinks I can stand up and walk says to me something switched in his brain. You know, something says when he goes walking and leaping and praising God that there's a little bit of joy in his spirit. Something's happened in his emotions there. You know, there was such, you know, when we see this healing, it's not just physical, it's not just mental, it's also emotional. That's our God. But test it out. Ask. Can we just test out? I mean, I know it's really, I'm with you. The number of times that I felt the Lord say, pray for healing, and I'm like, no, can't, embarrassed. I'm just going to walk away. And the number of times that he's like, pray for somebody and then ask them to test it. And it's like, I am just so embarrassed in case it hasn't worked. I can't. But God's so gracious, isn't he? It's like, just, you know, can you test it out? Because it's not you who heals, it's Jesus, isn't it? And I promise you that when we pray for somebody in the Spirit, and we've talked about that, and in Jesus' name, they will encounter God. He may not heal them, but they will encounter God. And that's the testimonies that you will hear from this lady and from this book. And what she discovers in her book or in her PhD is that it was rarely leaders or ministers. So that counts me out. I don't need to go and do this because it's not often me. It was actually the congregation. It was people. Everyday people who had prayed for their friends, for their neighbors. It was their colleagues at work that they prayed for. People who took seriously the commands of Jesus. As you go, pray simply. Ask the person how they feel. Next point I want to just make is that Peter offered prayer. Most people may ask you or express their need, but they're not going to ask you for prayer because they don't know that prayer works and heals. Can we actually offer prayer like Peter did? I can't give you that, but what I can do is pray. I had a meeting with somebody yesterday and, you know, what can we do? And I kept reminding her, prayer is powerful. And I reminded her of the things that we talked about before. And how God had answered those prayers for her and this village. And she was like, oh yeah, let's offer and let's pray. Can we be compassionate and can we be courageous to pray? And most of the people, in fact, she said, all the people who were healed have come to know Jesus. All 605 came to know Jesus. But she said, even those that weren't healed, she's had encounters with them and they've come back to say, I experienced something and have ended up going on an alpha course or some exploratory course. The impact of offering and them encountering makes people want to find out more. We are with words and deeds, not just words to share the gospel message, which is also includes healing, but also with deeds to pray. And then when Peter saw the people's reaction to the healing, I love this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why are you surprised at this? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Peter is just saying that, hey, any follower of Jesus Christ can pray for people to be healed, Why are you so surprised? Because we're praying in Jesus' name and it's God who heals. Why are you surprised that this isn't part of our everyday lives? And then Peter takes the opportunity to share the gospel message. Peter going about his everyday life with everyday words, in his everyday locations, simple prayers, simple courage and compassion. So let's conclude. What if God is asking us, and I actually believe at this moment in time, because I'm listening to what other churches are saying around the world and in the United Kingdom, what if God is asking us to up our expectation of healing taking place in our everyday lives? Healing may not take place every day, but can we have our spiritual antennae up to see who God is highlighting for us to come alongside and pray with? Not I will pray for you, but I'm praying with you now. Leave the result of the healing up to God. Our responsibility remembers compassion, courage and humility to offer prayer. Do you know what is really... A number of you have been to Wellbeing, our Wellbeing Cafe. And Ruth Rice wrote this in a book called Wellbeing. And we went through that last year and I read her book. And what she said was that people would come to the cafe knowing it was run by a church and was like, why are you so weird? And she's like, what do you mean weird? Well, we know you pray, so why don't you pray? Do you know what I mean? It's just like you're not being your true selves. We know that Christians pray, so why don't you pray? You know, as you do that sort of short devotion at the end. And so to stop being weird, we pray at the end of each of the well-being. And it's just because it's who we are. And so at the end of every Thursday, we pray for our well-being and other people's well-being. We're praying for healing. But how about if we take that outside the cafe and just do that in our everyday lives? And not be weird by not praying. Because that's who we are. And I think most people know that you are Christians. So can we make healing prayer a normal part of our everyday lives? Pop your hand up if you've had teaching on healing before. How many of you have put it into practice in your everyday lives? Yeah. And that's what we ended last week on, was it Matthew 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? It's that case of, you know, the wise people put into practice what you've learned. You stand on that rock. You know, there's no point hearing without actually putting it into practice. And that's a real challenge to me, you know, since I've been preparing this sermon. It's amazing how many people I've prayed for. Even as I was leaving Rose's house the other day, I can't remember what you said you needed prayer for, but as I was leaving, I was shouting in the street, and I pray for healing. You're back, yeah. You know, because I was thinking, otherwise Rose is going to say, well, you never prayed for healing on my back on that, you know, when he came around this week. The Lord wants to bring it to the forefront of our minds. We have a God who heals. And boy, the testimony of those who've been healed is phenomenal. So I'm going to ask Kerri-Ann to come and share her testimony of different types of healing.
So I know I've spoke here a couple of times before. Some of you might remember a couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And obviously when a doctor says that and gives you all sorts of horrible statistics, you fall down a pit and you hear the worst, think the worst. But obviously very quickly I shared it with my Christian friends and people were praying. And obviously I was praying and I was pushing into God, and I actually can say that I'm healed. I've got no cancer in me now. I can actually say while I was doing chemo and having my op, I can look back and say I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but I'm pleased it happened, because I felt so close to God and so loved by God, and so knowing that He keeps His promises, and He has kept His promise. But I always felt when I was having chemo, my husband at the time, I found out, was talking to other women online. When I confronted him, he ran for the hills, and which sounds brutal, but I'm also pleased that happened, because God just picked me up swept me off my feet and has just been so close to me and has just replaced everything that was taken away in my life with better. I've got solid Christian friends. My home is a happy, safe place now, and it wasn't. And I've just... That healing for me, what has happened to me, is more than the healing from the cancer, because I'm a different person really now, because I think when you met me, I wouldn't... I mean, this is a miracle. I'm standing here, to be honest, standing up talking. I wouldn't look at anyone. I just head down, didn't speak to anyone, didn't communicate with anyone. But over the last few years of being so close with Jesus, the healing of becoming me and being able to be empathetic to other people and be loving to them the way God wants you to be loving to them, that I wouldn't have been able to do before. And so it's just like the healing continues. It's like when you were sharing about just being out and about, a story come to mind. Just before Christmas, I was out with family actually for a birthday, and somebody very, very drunk came into the pub and doing drugs, very, very aggressive, and was going out of his way to be antagonistical to everyone and wanted a fight, wanted confrontation. Anyway, he came and sat next to me, and I would normally be quite fearful of that. I would be like, aggressive man, trigger point, run for the hills. But I just felt a sense of God's peace come over me, and I had a picture of his mum, I don't know who he is, but of his mum praying for him. Now, I could have ignored that and just gone on my way, but I just felt God's boldness come over me, and I just said to the man, is your mum a Christian? And he was quite aggressive. What do you mean? How do you know my mum? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't. God's just shown me a picture of your mum praying for you. And he burst into tears. He said, yes, my mum's a Christian. I said, well, she's praying for you, and she loves you. And he said, no, she don't. She's had enough of me. I said, your mum never has enough of you, the same way God never has enough of you. I said, have you ever heard of Keys, which is an AA, very godly AA? And he said, yes, I have. And I said, well, I think you should go. And he burst into tears again, sobbing. And he said, you're right. Yes, I do need to go there. And he pinky promised me, this big aggressive man that wanted to take on the world was sobbing and gave me a pinky promise and said that he was going to go to church and he was going to go to Keys and that he needed help. And that is healing. That is healing. And I wouldn't have had the confidence to do that without God. So, yeah, God heals in all sorts of ways, cancer, emotions, all sorts. But, yeah, it's just letting him, trusting him.
It's a good example, isn't it, of everyday lives and the testimony of what the Lord can do. We can't have a healing service without actually praying for healing. And there's people today that are struggling with pain. There's people today who perhaps have healing that they would like in their lives. But remember, it's everyday people. And so, you know, I've seen hands go up. I know that there's people who can pray for healing on tables. And so can you just in your tables take a few moments and just ask, is there anyone? In other words, we're doing that offering for prayer. Is there anyone who would like healing at your table this morning? And just pray for them, simple prayers. The greatest healing of all is when your heart is healed and comes into a right relationship with God. And so you may say, I give up trying to resist God anymore. And today I'm actually going to say, yes, I want to encounter his love and his presence. And so that may be the prayer that you have for healing of your body, mind and spirit to become a new creation in Christ. But otherwise, pray for whatever type of healing that person asks for.